Today's edition of the Daily Daily Caller podcast is brought to you by Ancient Life Oil.
What is full spectrum CBD? Full spectrum CBD is all the cannabinoids, which in turn gives you major effectiveness. CBD isolate is much less effective than full spectrum CBD. No herbicides, no pesticides, pure organic, non-GMO, full spectrum CBD. Where do you get the good stuff? At ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com. Buy CBD tinctures that work. That's ancientlifeoil.com.
Alrighty, hello again everyone and welcome to it. It's the Daily Daily Caller podcast for the 5th day of February 2020. I am your host, Derek Hunter. Welcome to the Daily Daily Caller podcast. I guess I already said it was the Daily Daily Caller podcast. What are you going to do? I'm still kind of buzzing from the State of the Union address, or maybe it was the alcohol. Now, no alcohol, just some Arizona iced tea. Sadly, no alcohol. So I took a nap yesterday and woke up at just before 7 p.m. and didn't know if it was day or night. I thought it was morning. I thought, holy crap, I'm up early. Well, I could go back to sleep, but I feel refreshed. I'll get up, and I get up, and I go marching to my office to start doing show prep for the radio show, and I realize, wait a second, the wife is still home. The sun is not up. The sun was down, but I was completely sort of screwed up my internal clock for about 20 minutes figuring out what the hell was going on because the kids were asleep. Everything was just different. Anyway, I'm much better now. Thank you. And what a day it was in news. Today, by the way, we're expecting the acquittal of Donald Trump on the bogus impeachment charges. So drink them if you got them. Tip them back. Maybe pour out a little for the Democrats' dashed dreams. Poor Adam Schiff. His life's work rejected by the United States Senate. It couldn't happen to a nicer guy. We'll talk a little bit about that if we have time, but we have to talk about the State of the Union address. And damn, Donald and Iowa, it was the greatest showman versus the shit show. It's quite a choice the American people were presented with in yesterday. Democrats can't do basic math, can't count. Forget it. Counting is even below basic math, for God's sake. It's counting. And they couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. It's still, like, right now as I'm recording this, they're saying we're expecting new results from Iowa any moment. Somehow, Pete Buttigieg is currently winning with 62% of the vote in, even though he got less votes than Bernie Sanders. That sound familiar? Such a screwed up system that they have there in the Democratic Party that they did explicitly to placate Bernie Sanders, and he might get bit in the butt by it. So, good. Careful what you wish for. But the State of the Union is where I want to start, and I want to talk about the showman, the Donald Trump showman. What a great speech, even though, you know, there are things in there. As sitting there as a fiscal conservative, you think it'd be nice if you'd talk about maybe shrinking the size of government spending just a little or containing the growth. But as far as television and as far as electoral politics go, I don't know that I've seen a better speech under more awkward circumstances. The president is still on trial, technically, for in the Senate. The impeachment trial is still going until today. And he went in there. He didn't mention it. He glossed right over it. And the American, it's kind of like the American people. Why talk about it if the American people aren't talking about it? And he just blew it out of the water. Democrats sat on their hands as if their life depended on it. With one notable exception, Kyrsten Sinema of Arizona was applauding at the appropriate times. Occasionally, Democrats, led by Nancy Pelosi, would stand up and applaud the stories, the personal stories, and the people who were praised by the president, but just barely. She sat there with her face buried in the speech itself, in the text of it that she was given. She looked like I imagine my daughters will look when I punish them in the future, when they're old enough to have done something wrong and get punished for it. They sit there and they just look like this is the worst thing that's ever happened. Nancy Pelosi just sat there and did the equivalent of rolling her eyes and shuffling back and forth in her seat. And if she were mic'd, I imagine there would have been a whole bunch of going on in the back in the speaker's chair. Of course, it started off, Donald Trump came in and gave the president gets announced, Mr. Speaker, Madam Speaker, the President of the United States, the applause comes in, the president goes down, stands at the podium. The speaker stands up and says, or introduces the president again, because these things are all about formalities. But Nancy Pelosi altered the introduction from what is traditionally said. It is normally the speaker says, it's my distinct honor and great pleasure to introduce the President of the United States. She just said, ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States. She left out the distinct honor and privilege part. Why? Because she's petty and angry. So at that, the president turned around, gave the vice president and the speaker copies of his speech, as is tradition, and then turned right back around, refusing to shake the speaker's hand. He left her hanging. He left her hanging. I loved that. I loved that. He left her hanging. And then he left her hanging all night long. It was amazing watching Democrats not applaud. And I don't think this was lost on the American people. At least I hope it wasn't lost on the American people. Not applaud economic gains by everybody. Economic gains made by the country. Economic gains made by Black Americans and Hispanic Americans and women. Each one of which was highlighted by the president. And the Democrats just sat there. When the president called for more funding for historically Black colleges and universities, Democrats just sat there. I don't know how you miss that. I don't know how that doesn't end up being at least an online campaign ad, because this is the Democrats take the Black vote for granted. They own it. They own every bit of it, and they feel entitled to it. And any threat to the Black vote monopoly that the Democratic Party has is a threat to the existence of the Democratic Party. If 10% of the Black vote switches to Republicans, 10% more, it's like 91-9 right now. If that shifts, if Republicans can crack that dam, it's over for Democrats nationally. They're screwed. They are screwed, and they take it for granted. They don't even pay lip service to it anymore. They just act as though they own it, and there's nothing you can do. What are you going to do? You're ours. Shut up. Know your place. Just keep living in economically depressed areas controlled generationally by Democrats. Shut up and take your medicine. You're ours. That's their attitude, and Donald Trump made major salvos in that direction last night, and it was huge, and it wasn't lost on the people on CNN. We have some audio of Van Jones we'll get to in a second. I have a lot more to say, but as we always have to do, we have to hat tip to our sponsors and play an ad from them. Joining us on the phone right now is our lovely sponsor and the guru of ancientlifeoil.com, Ronnie McMullen. Welcome to the program, Ronnie.
How you doing, Derek?
I'm doing great. And if you go out into the real world, you notice that CBD oil is now everywhere. You can get it at the grocery store, the gas station. I don't know if that stuff's any good. I can vouch for the stuff at ancientlifeoil.com being great and 100% organic. But tell us about some of the benefits, because that's one of the questions I get about CBD oil is people are wondering, what is this stuff that people keep talking about that my friends and family are telling me about? So what are the benefits of CBD oil that people might not know about?
Well, there's a lot of benefits. How about your muscular skeletal system, your lymphatic immune system, your respiratory system, your digestive system? I mean, this goes all over. And we have receptors in us, CB1, CB2. And when these fill, it's kind of like CBD helps everything communicate. So it helps our nervous system, which is one of the reasons that when you take CBD, you kind of mellow out a little bit, because it drops your anxiety and your stress. And stress alone, people, will kill you. I've watched people with perfect blood pressure have a heart attack from having too much stress. So it's really important to kind of get that underway, and obviously stretching and yoga, and there's all a lot of good stuff that's nice and free, but also CBD will really help that. And real quickly, I want to just go over, a lot of people are nervous with CBD because they're afraid it's going to get them high. And my CBD is made from hemp, and it is THC 003.003 or less. Usually we test out at 0.002. So you're not going to get high. And people say, well, can I drive with this? If you go down the road and you take CBD and you drive, you're probably going to be a better driver because you're not going to be so stressed. So it's really great for that pain that you might be having, the anxiety, the stress. And if you can calm your stress down, lots of great things, then you become not so chemically imbalanced. And the more we're chemically imbalanced, the more we hurt and have pain. So it's a balancer. Just look at it as a balancing act, and it makes you feel good.
I can vouch personally for all of that. My eye strain at the end of the day is gone with just a little bit of CBD oil under my tongue. And it helps me sleep too. Ronnie, what kind of deal do you have for our listeners?
So we have free shipping for anybody that mentions Derek in the coupon code. Now, we've had a couple people that forget to go hit the apply button, and that's so important. So put Derek in the coupon code, hit apply, you're going to get free shipping.
And it works. I can vouch for the fact that it works. And I've turned my dad onto it, Ronnie, so you've got another customer. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a great one. Love Ronnie McMullen and love Ancient Life Oil. AncientLifeOil.com. Don't forget promo code Derek for the discounts. Yes, we'll get to the Van Jones audio in a second, but the newest results just came out. And it is 71%. They've gone from 62% of the vote to 71%. Took them 36 hours or whatever to come up with that. Bernie Sanders is still winning in the popular vote in the first and second choices, but he's in second place when it comes to the delegate count because of their stupid system over there. Oh, they're in disarray. We'll get into that in a second, but I want to talk to you. I want to play the Van Jones audio because Van Jones seems a little concerned. Van Jones seems to recognize what the Democratic establishment doesn't want recognized, and that is that things are pretty good economically across the spectrum. All flavors of human beings are enjoying an economic renaissance right now. And that is the antithesis of the Democrats' message. That is the antithesis of what the Democrats want. It's what they don't, it's exactly what they don't need. Because people who are content economically tend, although not guaranteed, tend to like to keep the people in office who are currently in office, particularly presidents, especially when they are doing well. And I guarantee you, we're going to see this a lot more coming up. And it's a strategic Democratic thing. I'll tell you what you're going to see in a second. First, let's listen to Van Jones.
Time warning the Democrats, what he was saying to African Americans can be effective. You may not like it, but he mentioned HBCUs. Our black colleges have been struggling for a long time. A bunch of them have gone under. He threw a lifeline to them in real life and in his budget. He talked about that. He talked about the criminal justice reform. He talked about opportunity zones.
He talked about school choice.
Yes, Donald Trump is making polling data shows Donald Trump is making inroads with the black vote. Will it be enough to make a difference? Will it last? Who knows? Democrats are going to be in full-blown panic mode. Democrats are going to be in full-blown panic mode about a great many things. A good portion of the speech last night was centered around the economic record of the Trump administration. And I've told you before, Democrats are going to see they're going to try to convince you that you don't know how bad you have it. And that's a tough sell. So it's going to be coupled with, and I realized this last night watching the speech, it's going to be coupled with an attempt, a renewed attempt, to credit Barack Obama with the economic success of the Trump administration. It's going to get relentless. It's been bad in the past, but it's going to continue to grow, and it is going to continue to just get out of control. Barack Obama will be the person who is most credited with the economy in the media. Not with the American people. The American people aren't stupid. They know what's going on. But reporters will continue to credit Barack Obama. Why? It's just a continuation of Obama's policies. Well, we were told, of course, during the 2016 campaign that it would be a disaster to elect Donald Trump. It would be horrible to elect Donald Trump. It would be economic ruin to elect Donald Trump. We elected Donald Trump, and it has been the exact opposite of all of those things. Democrats are going to try to convince you that's because of Barack Obama. So were they lying then, or are they lying now, would be the appropriate question. The real answer is they're lying both times. Stephanie Ruhle sort of kicked this off last night, but others in media will follow suit, I guarantee it. Stephanie Ruhle tweeted, Donald Trump referenced the failed economic policies of the previous administration. She says, Obama stepped into the financial crisis and we climbed out of it over the course of the next 8 years. Oh, yes, Barack Obama. If there's one thing you think of when you think of Barack Obama's economy, it is the boom that was going on back then. What with the high unemployment rate and the low growth rate, right? That's what they want you to think. They're going to work very, very hard. You're not going to fall for it, but they're going to work very, very hard to try and convince the people you know and the people you care about that this is all because of Barack Obama. Yet when Donald Trump came in, he changed quite a bit. He implemented a lot of things. He repealed a lot of regulations, and he cut taxes. Still, the Democratic industrial media complex will work its ass off to make sure that he gets as little credit as possible for that. It will be all thrown on the back of Barack Obama. Why? Because the alternative is horrifying for them. The alternative is horrifying for them. Politico tweeted out, and this is during their so-called fact check, President Trump said during his State of the Union address that the unemployment rate is the lowest in over half a century. Now, this is supposed to be a fact check. It is at its lowest in over half a century. That is beyond dispute. But again, because the marching orders have gone out, because panic mode has been reached, they continue, note, the rate has continued to drop steadily, a trend that began under Obama. Now, isn't that interesting? So when it began, well, actually, the turning of the corner during the Great Recession happened at the very end of the Bush administration. Economic growth had started to improve. Does George W. Bush get credit for any of that? No, of course not. He gets the blame. He gets the blame for everything that's bad. It's kind of funny. For 8 years, all we heard from the Obama administration was the economy is the fault of the Bush administration. The reason our policies suck and our results suck and are disastrous and things are going so badly is because of President Bush and what President Obama inherited from President Bush. Now, suddenly, Donald Trump gets in there, changes things dramatically, wiping out significant amounts of regulation, burdensome, unnecessary and repetitive regulation, and things turn around. And that's because of Barack Obama. Why was Barack Obama not responsible for anything during the Obama administration, but somehow is responsible for everything good during the Trump administration? I mean, that's a hell of a way to put things. So you watch for this. I'll watch for this over the coming weeks and months as they try to both simultaneously convince you that things are much worse economically than they actually are, and that anything that is good, that happens to be good, it's almost by accident. And it's also the credit belongs to Barack Obama, not Donald Trump. Just as a reminder, as we're approaching the stock market hitting 30,000, 30,000, think of that. That's more than double what it's, I remember Dow 3000, for God's sakes. It's a massive, massive increase in the stock market. And most people are in the stock market. Most people aren't day traders. They don't have, you know, a portfolio that they manage or a stock broker or anything. But people do have 401ks. They have retirement accounts. Those are in the stock market. You're benefiting from it, even if you're not lighting cigars with $100 bills like you're the Monopoly man. So think about that and remember this. And remember the same people who are telling you that the economy isn't as good as you think it is, and anything that's good is Barack Obama's economy. Anything that's bad is Donald Trump's economy. Never forget what they told you from the very beginning. I love this clip so much for that very reason. This is Steve Rattner. He was Barack Obama's car czar. He is the, his job title is like the economic analyst for Morning Joe. He is paid by MSNBC and I think CNBC. He's also some big muckety muck on Wall Street. He's a rich guy and he's a rich liberal guy. This clip is from Election Morning 2016, the Morning Joe show on Election Day, November 8th, 2016. This was when Hillary Clinton was going to be the next president of the United States. There are no qualifiers here. There are no outs. There are no exceptions that Steve Rattner mentions here. And there are no dissenting voices on the Morning Joe panel as they all nod their heads along in agreement. Listen to what the left promised us under Donald Trump.
I have never seen an election in which the markets had so strong a view as to what was good and bad about the outcome. And what you saw was the markets rallying yesterday because of the FBI thing on Sunday. And the reason I mention this particularly is if the unlikely event happens and Trump wins, you will see a market crash of historic proportions, I think.
Why is that as a practical matter? What do they think will happen if Donald Trump is president?
They think he is essentially the unsteady. There's two levels. One, they think he's the unsteady hand at the trigger in the White House, making decisions, not knowing what he's talking about. And secondly, his economic policy, if you want to call it that, involves these massive tax cuts that would blow up the budget deficit, create all kinds of economic havoc.
And that's not where the markets are going to collapse.
They're terrified of him.
The markets are terrified of Donald Trump, a Donald Trump presidency. But don't worry, that was election morning. There was no way that the American people were ever going to elect Donald Trump. Hillary Clinton was a shoo-in at that point. It was over. She was the rabbit and Donald Trump was the tortoise. And she just took a little nap and Donald Trump passed her. And what happened? Of course, we all know. The Great Depression of 2017 and the stock market crash, stockbrokers throwing themselves from buildings. It was tragic. It was a tragic. No, of course, the exact opposite happened. These are the people we're supposed to believe now, that all of the economic gains and all the economic growth and all the unemployment shrinking and the employment growth and everything, all this boom that we're enjoying is a direct result of Barack Obama. When Donald Trump came into office and undid so much of what Barack Obama had done, and then it really started to kick up. It really started to accelerate. Had things gotten better under Barack Obama? Of course they had. We had 10% unemployment for a while. It wasn't going to stay like that forever. No matter how much screwing around with the economy Obama and the Democrats did, our economy rebounds. The American spirit caused that against the wishes of Democrats. But we were told, well, you know what? 1%, 1.5% growth, that's the new normal. 5% unemployment, that's the new normal. What are you going to do? We got to expand the welfare state. No, we've expanded the opportunity state. And it wasn't. It doesn't have anything to do with Barack Obama. It is done in spite of the damage Barack Obama did to this economy. It's a testament to the resilience of the American people and the American economy, not anything Barack Obama did. Anyway, also during the, I'm going to get through a lot of this because I'm going to have to, I might have to do a shorter show just because it's getting late. I've been waiting and waiting. Look, the speech went late and the analysis went late. And some of us have to sleep because some of us have to work in the morning. But we'll see. My mouth will probably get the better of me. Actually, recording the show doesn't ever take that long. It's the writing up of the show and embedding all the links and all the other stuff that goes on behind the scenes. Chuck Todd, during the speech, the president acknowledged Rush Limbaugh, who was up there in the president's box. It was a great moment. Rush is looking good. Rush, I like Rush with a beard, maybe because I have a beard, but he looks good with a beard. He looks like he lost some weight. Of course, yeah, I've seen him on TV for a while. He has lost some weight from his height. He's hopefully he's getting treatment. He's off today. He was off yesterday, and hopefully he'll be back on Thursday. But he was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom, and Democrats were angry. They could not applaud a man fighting for his life against stage 4 cancer. That's how bitter and angry Democrats are. They sat there on their hands. They averted their eyes. They looked the other way. They were angry that Rush Limbaugh was being honored at the State of the Union. And they were even angrier that he was being given the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Now, personally, I think Rush deserves the Presidential Medal of Freedom. It is for American citizens who contribute significantly to the culture. Rush has single-handedly created and revived and saved the talk industry. AM radio exists because of Rush. Countless jobs exist because of Rush. He deserves it. But to hear the left say it was a cheapening of the State of the Union address, and it was a cheapening of the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Now, the Presidential Medal of Freedom has been awarded by Democrats to people like Gloria Steinem and Ted Kennedy, who left a woman to die in a car and didn't bother to call the authorities until the following morning after he'd gotten his story straight with his lawyers. He called his lawyers before he called EMS. So Rush Limbaugh has done none of that. None of that. But Ted Kennedy, well, he's the lion of the Senate. He's the hero of the American left. He killed a woman. You want to call it manslaughter rather than murder? Fine. But you don't just verbally wash the blood off of Ted Kennedy's hands. History remembers. And if you ever get a chance to watch that movie Chappaquiddick that was out like a year or two ago, I think it's a fair movie, but it was an excellent movie. It really shows the depth of the depravity of the Kennedy clan and how disgusting they were in rallying to protect Teddy in the interest of maintaining their own power rather than in at all concerned about the life of Mary Jo Kopechne. It's probably on one of the streaming services. You can find it out there, and I recommend that you watch it. Anyway, Chuck Todd on the issue of Rush. Chucky was triggered that Donald Trump awarded Rush Limbaugh the Presidential Medal of Freedom. He was triggered on behalf of all Democrats. Listen to Chucky Chuck whine about this.
Ever seen.
It was the president trolling the Democrats. Yes, there was no impeachment.
You mean with the Rush Limbaugh?
Honoring Rush Limbaugh in that moment at an event that was technically begun because the Speaker of the House invites the president to come to the House chamber to give this.
Well, the complexity is also that Rush Limbaugh is battling in a battle for his life at the moment.
To do it in the House floor was definitely a finger in the eye of Pelosi, finger in the eye of the Democrats. There's a million ways that could have been done. Could have easily given it tomorrow, to tonight, had it where it is friends and family. I mean, it's kind of awkward to do that in front of people you know that may not be as interested in seeing it done that way. You know, do it in a little less divisive way. You do it at the White House. So obviously it was an intentional moment, almost probably hoping people get all worked up about it, which in some ways, you know, the Trump motto is just simply own the libs. And perhaps that's just a moment to do that.
We've got to never seen.
I'm so sorry for your loss, Chuck. I'm so sorry for your loss, you ginger avenger. Honestly, could you imagine being him? It was treason. Why would you do this? It could be done in private. It can be done any way the president wants it to be done. And it was done just that way. Rush Limbaugh is yesterday and today in the midst of beginning a course of treatment for his lung cancer. Maybe he's not free tomorrow, Chuck. Maybe he's kind of got other things he's got to do, and the opportunity presented itself because you're probably not going to get treatment in the evening. So you're free in the evenings, and before things get too bad and debilitating, when you've got a doctor's appointment the following day, you go and you take the honors when you're able to get the honors. But no, no. Chucky and his fellow travelers are very, very upset. They're mad that Donald Trump got anything. They're mad that because the Democrats were just angry throughout the whole freaking speech. A bunch of Democrats staged a walkout during the speech as if their big freaking heroes, Rashida Tlaib walked out, Chris Murphy walked out, Congressman Tim Ryan, or Chris Murphy, I don't know if Chris Murphy walked out, but Congressman Tim Ryan tweeted, quote, "I just walked out of the State of the Union. I've had enough. It's like watching professional wrestling. It's all fake." Well, what was the fake part there, Congressman? Was it when he was honoring that young black kid and who wanted to go to the Air Force Academy and ultimately join the Space Force? Or was it fake when the president honored that kid's great-grandfather, one of the last remaining Tuskegee Airmen, who he promoted in retirement to Brigadier General? Was that fake? Was that too fake for you? Was it the reuniting of a military family that happened there? Was that too fake for you, Senator Chris Murphy? I'm so sorry for your loss. Or was it when the president announced the awarding of a scholarship to a young black girl so she could escape the horrible public school system and have a brighter future? What was the fake moment for you, Senator Murphy? What was the fake moment for you, Rashida Tlaib? Of course, all of this was planned ahead of time. Every single Democratic response, they knew when they were going to walk out, they knew what time they were going to walk out, and they had what they were going to say, because they don't cite anything specific. I've had enough. It's like watching professional wrestling. It's all fake. It's all fake. Huh. Well, which part was fake? They don't answer because they don't have an answer. They know they're not going to be asked. And one of the things that really pissed off the left, this is one of the great moments, and this is why I say that Donald Trump is a better showman than I thought I already knew he was. When he highlighted a military wife and two kids who were up in the president's box. And at the end of it, if you weren't at least welling up a little bit, you weren't human or you're a Democrat, which there's a fine line there. I want to play this because it was one of those moments that will resonate with the American people and the media will ignore and or hate. And it's something that Senator Chris Murphy, Democrat of Connecticut, and Congressman Tim Ryan, Democrat of Ohio, and Rashida Tlaib, Democrat of the PLO, they will ignore this or belittle it because they're bad people.
"War places a heavy burden on our nation's extraordinary military families, especially spouses like Amy Williams from Fort Bragg, North Carolina, and her two children, 6-year-old Eliana and 3-year-old Rowan. Amy works full-time and volunteers countless hours helping other military families. For the past 7 months, she has done it all while her husband, Sergeant First Class Townsend Williams, is in Afghanistan on his fourth deployment in the Middle East. Amy's kids haven't seen their father's face in many months. Amy, your family's sacrifice makes it possible for all of our families to live in safety and in peace, and we want to thank you. Thank you, Amy." But Amy, there is one more thing. Tonight we have a very special surprise. I am thrilled to inform you that your husband is back from deployment. He is here with us tonight, and we couldn't keep him waiting any longer.
The left was outraged about that. Oh, yes. Was that a reality TV moment? Yes, of course it was. But was it a great moment for the country to see? Of course it was. Why get upset about it? The left cannot contain their Trump derangement syndrome. Okay, you get it. You're being outplayed. All right, you're being out-politicked. You're being out-campaigned. Your party can't do basic counting. And there's the president of the United States in a moment that had every normal human being a little bit choked up. And you're sitting there going, oh, this is an outrage, and they're cheapening the event. Oh, yes, they're cheapening the event. God forbid the State of the Union, the sacred State of the Union, be cheapened. Barack Obama would come out there, pound his chest, and refer to himself 362,000 times per speech. But Donald Trump reuniting a military family and awarding the Medal of Freedom to Rush Limbaugh during it, why, that's just a bridge too far. They couldn't possibly ever say that they've ruined the sanctity of the event. Right. Throughout it, the Democrats were exposed, and this is why they hate it so much and are so mad today. The president threw down the gauntlet. He had the recognized president of Venezuela in the audience, and by proxy was condemning the socialist leaders of Venezuela. The socialist leaders who, by the way, have been embraced by Bernie Sanders and a large faction of the Democratic Party, not just, you know, in spirit. They've literally come out and said that it is an outrage that the government of the United States is trying to overthrow the duly elected president of Venezuela, who, you want to talk about election fraud, won through election fraud and has ruined the country while making himself rich. That's who the Democrats have embraced. And there is Juan Guaido, the president recognized by the international community of Venezuela. He got a standing ovation. Nancy Pelosi, by the way, stood up for that one, which is kind of a thumb in the eye of Bernie Sanders and the squad. So when it was politically expedient and convenient for Nancy, she was willing to get off her ass. She didn't suffer paralysis from the waist down when it was politically expedient for her. When she sat on her hands, maybe her thumb, who knows, was when the president was talking also about socialized medicine. This, I thought, was a very effective and powerful moment in the speech.
It will save families massive amounts of money for substantially better care. But as we work to improve Americans' health care, there are those who want to take away your health care, take away your doctor, and abolish private insurance entirely. 132 lawmakers in this room have endorsed legislation to impose a socialist takeover of our health care system, wiping out the private health insurance plans of 180 million very happy Americans. To those watching at home tonight, I want you to know we will never let socialism destroy American health care.
Democrats were very upset by that because that's exactly what they want to do. That's exactly who they are. That's exactly what they're fighting for and campaigning on. Democrats don't like it when the American people are, when they're exposed to the American people. They're not a big fan of it. At the end, the analysis was at the beginning. It devolved as it does later on in the day as the cable networks after midnight bring on the more radical lunatics like Joy Reid had on. He called in Congressman Al Green, the guy who's been pushing impeachment since day one of the Trump administration, because why not? Joy Reid's a racist, homophobe, you have on a Trump-hating member of Congress, and you don't challenge him anything. He stopped just short of calling the black guests of the president at the speech Uncle Tom's, but he went right up to the line, calling them human props. That's the modern left. That's who they are. Joy Reid just nodded along in agreement because they're terrible, terrible people. But Chris Matthews, of all people, I don't know what's getting into the water in Chris Matthews' house. But he had some sober, can you use the word sober when talking about Chris Matthews' analysis? I don't know. I'm gonna risk it. He had some sober analysis of the president's speech, which makes Democrats wildly uncomfortable.
Chris Matthews.
I think the people where I came from will like the speech tonight. I think regular people will not, they'll see the schmaltz, the corniness, they'll see it, but they'll like it because it's all good stuff. Whatever purpose it had. And I look at something about, I watch Pelosi because I really respect her like most of us do. And I watched very, the way she calibrated when to stand, when to applaud. And it was almost enormous, almost entirely the tributes to people, to individual people. She always felt that was the right thing to do, especially Juan Guaido. I'm telling you, Trump set up the fight and he laid down the gauntlet tonight about him and Bernie. It's as if he was following. Bernie won in popular vote out in Iowa yesterday. And there he is going after Guaido, going after socialism, obviously tying all socialism to the kind we really don't like, the tyrannical socialism of the Latin Americans like Castro. He's saying, this is going to be my enemy. Great, I'm ready to fight. So I thought that was interesting. And Pelosi stood up and applauded that. She knew where this country stands. We don't like those leaders. And Bernie does. And that's a problem.
I imagine Chris Matthews is going to be getting very angry emails from his friends and his viewers on the left talking about Bernie Sanders that way. But he's right. He's right about the whole thing. The American people, it's going to play. That speech plays with the American people. Why? Because it's a celebration of this country. And the American people are proud of their country. The vast majority of the American people are proud of their country anyway. When it comes to progressive Democrats, they're not proud of this country. They don't like this country. They despise this country. So saying nice things about this country is not acceptable. It is not cool, bro. Not cool. That's the campaign they're running. That's the base they're trying to placate. That is the message they send in every news report and every story that they do. So to sit there and you see the disconnect between the Democrats and the Republicans, the differences, the divide in this country, they say, well, this country is deeply divided. Well, yeah, Nancy Pelosi did not give the traditional introduction because she hates Donald Trump. So Donald Trump said, screw you, I'm not shaking your hand. And then at the end of the speech, you saw this, Nancy Pelosi, who had had her face buried in the speech the whole time. She looked like an insolent child behind the president, reading along and not applauding and not paying attention and not showing any respect whatsoever. At the end, she stands up and she rips the speech. She takes the paper copy that she has and she rips it in half. Now, she couldn't do it. It's probably like 10 pages and Nancy's old and weak and frail. And she stands up and she takes about 3 pages and rips them, puts them down, takes up another 3 pages. She was making sure that everybody saw her do it. But she ripped up the speech. Now, is that traditional? Is that fine? Is that acceptable from Democrats? Can the next time a Democratic president gives the speech, can the Republican Speaker of the House just whip out a Bic and light it on fire? Is that okay? Will Nancy Pelosi be condemned for naked partisanship? No, of course not. She'll be cheered. Democrats will be fundraising off of it. I'd be surprised if, like, she doesn't have a ceremony where she hands out half pages of her ripped copy of the president's speech to the House managers for the next impeachment that they come up with. Because they're raging freaking hypocrites. When asked afterwards about the ripping of the speech, you can kind of hear it here. I'll tell you what she says after in case you can't hear it. But as she was walking out of the House chamber, a reporter from Fox News, by the way, MSNBC, Brian Williams said that it was an NBC News reporter, but next week, Brian Williams will be telling the story that he was the one who asked it because he's a liar and a fraud. A Fox News producer asked Nancy Pelosi why she tore the speech up. Here's her answer.
Why did you rip the speech up, Madam Speaker?
Because it was the courteous thing to do, considering the alternatives.
Because it was the courteous thing to do, considering the alternatives. It was the courteous thing to do, ripping up the speech. She later told an NBC News reporter, I think it was, or maybe it was from Politico, some left-wing rag, that she looked at the speech from the president and could not find a single page with a word of truth on it. So I'd ask the Speaker of the House, what was the lies? What were the lies? Where were the lies? Was it in the honoring and promoting of the guide to Brigadier General? Was that a lie? Was the family being reunited a lie? Which part of it disgusted you? The baby who was born at 21 weeks and 6 days and was 2 years old up in the gallery with her mother? Was that a lie, Nancy? Where were the lies? Of course, she can say that. She's not going to be asked. She'll be cheered for having said it on two of the three major cable news networks. And it will be quickly memory-holed anyway because they're all on the same freaking team. So who cares? Why anybody would take this woman seriously, I do not know. Why anybody would respect this woman, I'll never know. I will never share that characteristic with any of them. On the other hand, that's about enough of the State of the Union. On the other hand, we're slowly, slowly, slowly getting election results out of Iowa. What a damn joke. Tonight, while I'm recording this, we've gone from having 62% of the vote counted to up to 71% of the vote counted. How in the hell does that happen? What takes them so long? Where are these freaking people? Well, they are, they're still making it up as they go along. They're trying to get Joe Biden to not have fully embarrassed himself. And good luck with that. But it turns out that Joe Biden, it looks like he ended up in a distant fourth place in Iowa, an embarrassing fourth place in Iowa, especially considering the fact that he's had 3 weeks to 2 weeks at least during the trial to essentially campaign with just him and Mayor Pete. I mean, you had the whole state to yourself and you pull less than 15%? Dude. But maybe he pulled 15.4%, but that's only with, you know, 71% of the vote in. The establishment is in full-blown panic mode when it comes to what their campaigns are seeing, what the voters are voting for. Bernie Sanders is technically in second place right now. Again, there's still 29% of the vote out there, probably screwing up this count just because it hurts Bernie. He doesn't have as much momentum going into New Hampshire. But the winner, who's declared victory last night before any votes were counted, before anything was known, is Pete Buttigieg, which is kind of funny because the party that curses the existence of the Electoral College and demands that we get rid of it and that we go solid, straight up, one vote per person and the majority wins. Well, Pete Buttigieg did not win the popular vote in Iowa. The counties and the different precincts determine who gets the delegates. And Bernie Sanders got more votes, at least so far. Again, we're still stuck at 71% of the vote. He got more votes than Pete Buttigieg did. But because of the system that they implemented at the demand, I would say request, but at the demand of Bernie Sanders, by the way, Pete Buttigieg has a slight edge when it comes to the number of delegates. Like I told you, there was conceivably a way that three people could have claimed victory out of Iowa. The first round of voting, when they all go in there and they get into their corners and they count up the people they count the number of votes. So there's one winner. Whoever got the most votes in the first ballot, then the people who were determined to not be viable, those their candidates were out and they could either go in caucus with somebody new for their second choice or go home. So some people went home, some people went and caucused with other people. Bernie Sanders won that vote as well. So Bernie Sanders won the first choice vote and the second choice popular vote from the Democrats. But the third way of claiming victory is the number of delegates you come out of the state with. And because, again, of the weird way that the delegates are allotted, that's where Mayor Pete at least currently has the lead. So we've had three possible victories. Two of those victories went to Bernie Sanders. One victory went to Pete Buttigieg, as of now, asterisks, as of now. Yet the media and the Democratic industrial complex is anointing the guy who only had one of three possible victories. They're anointing him the winner over the guy who had two of the three possible victories. Democrats, they're screwing over the country. They're screwing over themselves. They're screwing over each other. It's like a porn set. There's so much screwing over going on. It's funny to watch. Democrats cannot get their act together to save their lives. And you see why now that they're so angry when it comes to the State of the Union. You go up against a showman and you throw up your shit show against that. Good luck to you. May the force be with you, because the voters don't seem like they're going to be. But who knows? Maybe tomorrow we'll have some more results from Iowa. Don't worry. They'll totally learn how to count when they're handling your health care and mandating what these people are so competent. Why wouldn't you trust them to make the decisions of what's best for your life? Speaking of making decisions in your life, today is the day, hopefully. I don't know what Democrats could do, but they'll try to do something to try and delay the final impeachment vote. It is scheduled to reconvene the trial, I believe, at 1 o'clock. It might be 11 o'clock. I'm not really sure when the Senate gavels back in. There will be some debate. There will be some whining, I predict. This isn't going out on a limb. This is going out on a trunk. I suspect that Chuck Schumer will have a very whiny speech about how Republicans are doing this, that, or the other thing, are awful people, whine, piss, moan. It's going to be fun to watch. We'll play it for you tomorrow, if and when it actually happens. But tomorrow, the impeachment trial reconvenes. The Chief Justice will be sitting over there in the presiding chair in the Senate, and senators are expected to vote on whether or not to remove Donald Trump from office. The question isn't whether or not Donald Trump will be removed from office. It's pretty clear that Donald Trump will not be removed from office. Democrats have lost, and lost badly on that point. The question is, what will the vote be? The Republicans, all 53 of them, are expected to vote against conviction, I guess, against removal. Not guilty, I think, is what they're actually going to say. And the question is whether or not any Democrats will join them. There are three Democrats to watch for. You never know. Somebody else might surprise you, but it seems unlikely. You got to watch for Doug Jones out of Georgia. He is the accidental senator, and he wants to be reelected this fall. It seems unlikely, but he's got to give it a shot. And standing up to his party on this issue, specifically and particularly when it's a foregone conclusion, could be kind of a way he tries to do that. Whether or not he actually does it remains to be seen. Then there is Joe Manchin of West Virginia. Donald Trump just killed it in West Virginia. If Joe Manchin wants to remain in the good graces, this isn't some spending bill. This isn't some random thing that will be forgotten in a couple of months. This is the impeachment of the president. If Joe Manchin wants to remain in the good graces of his constituents who overwhelmingly support the president of the United States, he will vote against conviction. And then the wild card is Kyrsten Sinema out of Arizona. Arizona is a sort of a purple state, but Sinema is safe right now. She was just elected to the Senate, so she's not really up for another 5 years. And it's not as though Donald Trump won Arizona by a ton. He didn't win it by a ton. So she would be coming at it from a purely, I don't know, nonpartisan, maybe even a thumb in the eye of the radical left of her own party, which is really shocking considering her past is as a proud member of the radical left in her own party. She's, you know, a anti-war pink tutu wearing, going to radical left-wing cause rallies. She's, you know, as they say in the news business, she's openly bisexual. She's a very attractive woman, but she's openly bisexual. So, you know, you'd think she would be on team liberal all the way, but she has really bucked her party in significant ways and in quite a few instances. So there's a possibility that she could vote to acquit the president as well. And if that's the case, if that's what it comes down to, the president of the United States will have been impeached exclusively by Democrats, and the opposition to the impeachment will have been the bipartisan vote. And then he will have been acquitted by a bipartisan vote. Only Democrats voting to convict him. It'll still be the nation is divided and Republicans are so partisan will be the narrative the media will try to spin. But the reality is something you can't deny. It's math. Democrats voted with Republicans in the House against impeachment. And if Democrats vote with Republicans in the Senate for acquittal, that will be the bipartisan vote by very definition. No matter how you write the history in the future, these leftists who will try to spin it will not be able to deny the fact that the bipartisan vote was in favor of the president. Of course, these are people who can't count. So you can't, not only can't you can't count on them telling the truth. It's going to be fun to watch. It's a busy, busy day. We'll have all the reaction to it and all the analysis for it on tomorrow's program. It is time for me to put Quinn to bed. She's in the next room watching Frozen. Keeps coming in with the Frozen dolls and trying to get me to play. So I'm going to go play with her for a few more minutes. I'll be Olaf and Anna while she's the Elsa character. The conversations consist of mostly one of them falling and her going, "Are you okay, Anna? Are you okay?" It's for kids. If you don't have any, have some. But I'll be back here tomorrow. I'll be on the radio tomorrow at 9 a.m. WCBM.com. You can tweet at me, Derek A. Hunter, on Twitter. You can email me, Derek@DailyCaller.com. You can support the show at Patreon.com/DerekHunterPodcast. You can just send good vibes out to the universe, or you can keep spreading the word about the show and earning my eternal gratitude for that. Thanks for listening. I guess I was going to tell you to go to bed. I'm going to go to bed. You guys go to work, and I'll see you tomorrow.
I was right. She knew where this country stands. We don't like those leaders, and Bernie does, and that's a problem.